Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome. I hope you're all doing all right today. I'm so happy to be here with each of you for our second Sacred Rhythms class number two today. And today we're going to look at the winter and the destroyer. I'm really excited to do that. We have a lot that we're going to get through today. There's a lot here for us today. And so we're likely going to go about 10 minutes over. We'll go until 4:40 Eastern. And then I promise I'll still give the 30 minutes for the bonus coaching Q&A after that. But we've just got a lot to get through today. So that being said, before we jump in, take a moment and journal or jot down the answer to this question, which is simply what's been moving through you since last week. What's been moving through you since we began last week? What's been resonating from our time together last week, or if you've been continuing with the practices this week, or if you've started to apply it to your client work? What are you seeing? What's been resonating? What's been moving through you? What have you been becoming more and more aware of over this week? Just take a moment with that. Jot down for yourself. What's been moving through you since last week? What's been resonating? This is a coaching point as well as a facilitation point and a curriculum point. The reason why I ask this question is because the best learning happens one of the ways that transformation happens is when we slow things down a little bit. So in our society and in our culture, we have this tendency for more, 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 and that also includes a lot of practitioners, whether it's in your one-on-one work or in your group work, thinking we've got to pile on more content and rush to the next thing and do the next thing. And I'm a big fan of a lot of content. We're going to look at a lot of content today. But what happens when we do that without taking a moment to pause and to see what's been resonating, to see what's been percolating, is that we miss out on fully integrating what we're learning and what we're seeing, and we miss out on the deeper details. And the really, this is to bring it to the seasons. When I ask what's been resonating for you, what have you been seeing this week? This is part of continuing to harvest, right? To harvest the learning from last week, so that you can really enjoy it for yourself, so that you can really use it for yourself. So that's just a side note on application, you know, for coaching and curriculum and groups. So just take a moment and see what is it for you that you've really been percolating with this week, resonating with this week. And I'd love after class, if you posted it in our Facebook group so that you can be seen in it, you can express yourself in it, and so that we all can share with what's been moving through you. And of course, as all of you know who've been participating in the Facebook group, I respond to every single thing, and I will give reflections, maybe ask some coaching questions around it, or give you some deeper homework around it. So please, please share in the Facebook group. Okay, so with all that, let's dive into the winter and the phase of the cycle, right, the winter, and we'll get to the archetype of the destroyer within all of this. Now, let me just say that we could have started with any of the seasons. We had our intro last week, and now we're going to look at the four phases, and we could have started with any of them, because remember, this is cyclical. It's not linear. After birth comes growth, after growth comes harvest, after harvest comes death, but it doesn't end there, because after death comes birth again. I keep on emphasizing this because I've found that it's truly one of the keys to living life with more peace. Knowing that every cycle must inevitably have a release, have an end, but also that there's always a rebirth that's going to happen after that. So even though linear logic would tell us to start with spring, because spring is about initiation, cyclical logic is a little bit different than linear logic. And in fact, if you look closely, most things that are actually initiated really towards the end of the winter phase, even before the spring. Most things are initiated when it's still kind of dark out. But we'll get to that in a few moments. Let's take a look at what this winter phase is all about. And to truly understand winter and the archetype of the destroyer, we need to actually look to the seasonal process that begins mid-autumn at Halloween time. Now, again, remember, the cycle is a circle, not a square. So no season has a definitive beginning and a definitive end. The seasons and the four phases of the cycle progress in and out of each other. The energy of winter, for those of us that are in the northern hemisphere, slowly starts to rear its head during Halloween time. Really, the very, very tail end of October, the beginning of November. Halloween is actually the exact and sacred moment when the cycle of one year ends and the cycle of another year begins. At Halloween, the nature that surrounds us appears to be dying. Leaves are falling from the trees, leaving those trees bare and naked. Traditionally, in the Northern Hemisphere, the end of October was the third and the last of the harvest celebrations. And this harvest, the Halloween harvest, gifts us not with soft and juicy fruits like late summer and early autumn, but instead with gourds, with pumpkins and squashes. They're drier. They're closer to death. Since fall equinox 6 weeks before, the darkness has overtaken the sunlight. The nights get longer and longer, and the days get shorter and shorter. The time from Halloween until winter solstice, which is exactly another 6 weeks away, is the darkest season of the year. The sun is quickly disappearing, the days are at their shortest, and it's getting colder and colder. It is the season of death. And Halloween marks the moment of death, the moment of release. So it's a moment of death, yet why has this time of death been celebrated in so many cultures around the world for millennia? And just to give you a taste, the moment around Halloween in ancient Egypt, that was the time that the death of the corn god Osiris was celebrated. During this time of year in India, there is a festival of death that's celebrated. I'm going to get the pronunciation wrong, but it's Pitra Visarana. In Japan, this time of year is called Obon, and it's also a festival of death. Vietnam celebrates Wandering Souls Day at the time of year of Halloween. China celebrates Hungry Ghost Festival. The People's Republic observes Receiving the Ancestors Festival. The Christian Church at Halloween time celebrates All Hallows Day and then All Saints Day. And during that time of year, the Jewish tradition celebrates Yom Kippur, which is a day which we honor and remember the ancestors. In Mexico, it's Dia de las Muertes, the Day of the Dead. It's a moment to identify with death and to feed the ancestors. I could go on. There's more, right? But you guys get the idea. This is a moment that's celebrated. It's a moment that's marked. And that's because contemplating death allows us to put our lives into perspective. How could we ever possibly understand the fullness, the robustness of life, if we didn't also understand death? And even more than that, so many cultures around the world for millennia have celebrated the moment of death, because by honoring that moment, by marking that moment, we mirror nature and it allows us to let go, to honor and release what no longer serves us or what's ready to be transformed into something else. It's as if that time of year is a glorious transition between the death of the old and the birth of something new, and that process can be called transformation. The transition between the death of the old and the birth of something new. In today's world, we're taught to fear the dark, to fear that which we can't pin down. But in actuality, the dark is the time when we dream and the time when our creative juices are flowing. As I said before, it's where we dream up new projects, new beginnings. It's where we dream the future, and it's in the dark after this death, right, that we prepare life to be born. The moment when things are let go and released is a moment that actually gives way to an incredible, fertile time. Death feeds life, feeds death, feeds life. We can't have one without the other. And if we look at the cycles of the year, of the moon, of projects, after the release, after the moment of death, then we move even more deeply into the heart of winter, which is you can compare it to those darkest moments around the winter solstice or the dark of the moon, the silent night. It's the deep quiet, a time for rest, for renewal, for hibernation, a time to stop, and to a time to simply be so that regeneration can happen. In general, so many of us need more of this deep winter state. We need a pause. We need real, and I mean real, rest. We need to remember again and again and again that life, that a vibrant life, isn't possible without a metaphorical death and a break. And in fact, and this is one of my favorite facts that I like to share about trees, when we look at a tree in the winter time, we think that it's dead. We see that there's no leaves on the branches. We think it's just doing nothing. But the truth is that the trees grow the most in the winter time, not above ground, but during the winter is when the trees are growing and strengthening their underground roots the most. Because the tree has paused the activity above ground, it's opened up space to bring more nourishment to its roots underneath the ground, which then allows for the rebirth in spring. So take a moment right now and just notice how you feel in your body as you take in this season of winter. Notice how you feel in your body. What are you seeing? What are you learning for yourself so far? What's coming together for you just from this description that I just shared of releasing, of letting go, and winter? Take a moment to jot down some notes for yourself. What are you learning for yourself so far? What's coming together? What feels most important for you? Just from this description that I just shared of releasing, letting go, and winter. Now, all things, all projects, relationships, areas of our work, creative projects, go through a winter phase at some point or another. They all do. So, for example, your work with a particular client may come to an end. Now, that winter phase with the client might be kind of a final end. You come to the end of your coaching contract, however long, you know, you've been working together, and then that's it. Or that winter phase might be that you come to the end of your coaching contract, and you let that cycle of your work together go, and then you re-sign into the next cycle. Now, I just bring this up because this is a point, any of you that are working with clients, this is something that you want to think about. You don't want to just think about that your work with a particular client goes on and on and on and on and on. even if you are someone that creates long-lasting relationships with clients like I do, I work with, you know, I have some clients that I've worked with for a decade. Even if you are like that, you want to understand the cycles that you go through within that relationship and mark them, mark the winter phases as you go through them before you re-sign into the next contract and the next. So there are parts that are going to be let go of so that you can, you know, parts of the work that you've done together, whatever it is, so that you can have a rebirth into the next cycle. You want to honor the cycles of your work with your clients. Here's some other examples of projects or, you know, things that go through winter phases. For me, I went through a winter phase of my thought leadership for a number of years, almost all of my programs in an outward way focused on how to market better, you know, how, like all more, you know, traditional business coaching. Of course, we always did a lot of inner work and ceremony and all of that, but really my main messaging was, you know, around the more traditional business coaching. And while that was going so well, I recognized, you know, about 5 years ago, I really could feel that if I was going to continue to have that be the outer message, that I'd be clinging on, that I wouldn't let what was ready to die, die. Because the truth was, at that point, I was seeing that the work I was really doing with my clients was the deep inner work, as well as training them how to be incredible practitioners. I was teaching them coaching skills, ritual skills, facilitation skills. And it was hard to say, you know what, I'm going to let this old, all these other, these, you know, marketing programs go through a winter phase. Let them die because they're doing so well. But I knew deep inside of me that if I didn't go through that winter phase, either I was going to stop feeling connected to the work or people would stop being attracted to it because it wasn't my deepest truth anymore, right? So sometimes our thought leadership goes through winter phases. Romantic relationships can go through winter phases, right? So sometimes a winter phase in a romantic or any kind of friendship can be the end of the relationship, right? Like you break up with the person, you get a divorce, you know, whatever it is. But that being said, other long-term relationships go through a winter phase many times. So for example, I've been married to, how many years have John and I been married? Let me do math. We're 14 years. We've been married for 14 years. We dated for a number of years before that. You know, we've probably been together about 17, 18 years now. And we're not just in a continuous growth phase of our relationship. Yes, overall, overarching, we're growing, but we go through many winter phases, right, where we might let go a certain way of being together because a new way is ready to be rebirthed. When we made the transition from dating to being married, we went through a death phase, right, because our relationship took on a new form. When we our first daughter was born, we went through a winter phase first in our relationship because we became parents. Our relationship took on a different form, right? So cycles in relationships. Where you live may go through a winter phase, right? So, I mean, for me, I lived in New York, New Jersey area my entire life. I always said I was never going to leave because my parents are there. And, you know, about 8 years ago, it became clear that it was time for us to leave. And so I really had to activate the energy of winter, and we'll get to it, the energy of the destroyer, in order to be willing to leave New York, in order to move to North Carolina. if you're a writer, your writing goes through cycles, right? And it has to inevitably go through the winter phase. Sometimes that might be like where your creativity kind of needs a rest and you don't write for a while. But it may just be like at the end of each chapter, you need to let go of that chapter and take a rest before birthing the next chapter. And we go through lots of different winter phases and deaths throughout our lives, right? So as a woman, I went through the death of my maiden self. You know, our different parts of our image, you know, we need to go through a winter phase sometimes when it comes to our appearance, and how we look now is not how we looked then, but if we cling on, right, to those ideas, we can never rebirth into where we're meant to be next. So hopefully that gives you a good sense of, you know, just how all of our projects, relationships, you know, even parts of our identity go through winter phases. So let me ask you this. How do you know when it's time to let something go in your life or in your work? How do you know when it's time to let something go? I ask this question because most of the time we actually intuitively know when it's time to let go, based on how we feel in our body or thoughts that, you know, higher wisdom thoughts we have, but it's just that we don't listen to it. So how do you know when it's time to let something go in your life or in your work? All right. Let's take a quick pause here because I've been speaking a lot. We're going to get to a lot more today, but I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What are you seeing so far? What is rising to the surface for you? What's important here? It's star two to raise your hand. Renee.
Hi, Joanna. Oh my God, I'm seeing so much. So I am really seeing how I, in some ways, really hold on to the winter phase, but also, like, not completely, because I'm not destroying enough in the winter.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I love the creative incubation.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you were talking about your thought leadership, and I'm like, this, you're talking about 5 years, and I'm like, yeah, it's been 5 years for me too, but I'm still like hanging on.
Yeah. If you're
like
trying
to like bridge the gap, right?
I'm so glad that you're bringing this forward, because there's really, as I was sharing, there's really two phases of winter. There's like the destroyer phase, that actual moment of death, that's more Halloween. And then there's the pause and the rest and that, like, fertile time after it. But it's hard to, just as you're saying, I'm so glad you're bringing this forward, it's really hard to then move into initiation or complete the fertile time if you haven't done some of the destroyer pieces first.
Yeah.
Or
I feel like the way, the insight I had was, like, it's like, you ask, like, how do you know, right? And I'm like, oh, I know. I just ignore, right?
Yeah.
Or I suppress. But it's like, I acknowledge it. I even grieve it. But in some ways, I'm still holding on to
You're
it.
You're still clinging.
Like,
yeah, we'll talk
I'm
more
still clinging,
about
so then
all
I don't
that.
Initiate.
Yeah. Good. We'll talk more about all of that. And when we get to the embodiment pieces, you know, give you some strategies for that. Awesome. Good. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. It's so important. I'll take one more. Who is this? from LA, 1382 are your last numbers.
It's Jamie.
Hey, Jamie.
Hi.
Hi.
So, since learning about a lot of this from you, I have gone through a winter phase. And as you're talking about all of this, I'm realizing that I'm really uncomfortable in that space. I'm really uncomfortable with stillness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not uncomfortable, I don't think anyway, I'm not uncomfortable with the letting go, but I'm uncomfortable in the space that happens after the letting go, because I like to go, right into creating. And so when you're asking, how do we know when it's time to let something go, I've had a lot of confusion around that just in my business, because I'm new in my business. So a lot of what I'm doing in my business is figuring out what exactly is it that I want to offer. So then I'll have these great ideas and I'll put these programs together. And then there's a misalignment somewhere, but maybe it's just in it could be in, I don't need to list all the things. It could be in like so many other things. But what happens is if like it's not successful or nobody reacts to it, is I just kind of crash like emotionally and energetically in there. So anyway, it causes confusion for me, because my answer that I want to say, how do I know it's time to let something go? It's usually when it feels out of alignment. Like I'm really clear about that in all the other parts of my life, but in my business, it's confusing for me.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So I think I get it. Let me reflect back to you what I'm hearing, and you can tell me if I'm getting this right. What I'm hearing is it's hard for you to know in your business when whether or not something is in or out of alignment, because one of your kind of reaction mechanisms is you'll put something out there and then it doesn't work and then you crash. And you don't know if the crashing is because it feels out of alignment, or just because of the kind of, whatever the word is, like the hurt from it not working right away, or the reaction from it not working right away.
Absolutely. And the other part I should add is that this has all been inside of a winter phase.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to survive. So then I'm trying to create, and I'm not truly honoring the winter phase. So, but ultimately, the answer that I'm getting here is just that I'm really uncomfortable in the winter phase.
Yeah, yeah. And it feels like there's so many pieces to this. Once we start looking at one of the seasons, all of the seasons open up. But like what I'm also hearing is that there's some things that you could be putting more energy and focus to growing, even while you're in the overarching winter phase, but you're just so quick to let them go and then start the next thing instead of kind of growing them as well as sitting and being with all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. I'm glad that's coming through. I'll let you sit with that. I have a feeling more will come as you continue to be with that. Good. Thank you. All right, let's continue. So we look at winter, right? And we kind of, for many of us, we know when it's time to let go of something. And yet it's not always so easy, right? Even just with what Renee and Jamie shared, and I'm sure, it's coming up for a lot of you, but it's not so easy. We tend to put off releasing and letting go what's truly and deeply ready to be released. We cling on to what no longer is truly even alive for us anymore. And when we do this, we end up feeling heavy, weighed down, and tired, exhausted, really. It's so exhausting to cling on to things that we're not meant to. We end up having trouble starting new things because we haven't fully let go of what we're not meant to be holding on to anymore. We feel tied to things that are no longer aligned for us. We end up holding ourselves back. Things fester. And for many of us, when we cling on to what is no longer truly meant to be alive, or that is even alive, we end up getting depressed or even feel bitter, frustrated. So let's take a look at this in a couple of different ways. First of all, think of a time when you really needed to rest, when you really needed to slow down. It may even be right now. You really needed to be in more of an overarching winter phase, but you didn't allow yourself to be in it. So think of a time when you really needed to be in an overarching winter phase. When I say overarching, what I mean is, I mean, even for me, like when I go into winter phases, there's still different projects that I might be growing or this and that, but it's an overarching phase of slowing down, right? So think of a time when you really needed to rest and slow down and be in that overarching winter phase, but you didn't allow yourself to be. What was that like? What was the impact on you and on your projects and on your well-being? And now think of a time when you didn't let go of a project or a relationship, or a client, or a program, or a particular thing. Think of a time when you didn't let go of a particular thing that was ready for a winter phase. What happened with that? What was the impact of that? Sometimes, for those of us that work with clients, programs, sometimes our rates need to go through a winter phase too, right? Our team members, support people, right? So think of a time when you didn't let go of something, a particular project or relationship that was ready for a winter. What happened? What was the impact? Now, another thing that can happen when we're not consciously releasing what's ready to be released is that we may let go of the thing, like we may destroy it, but we end up doing it in ways that are messy or self-sabotaging or burning bridges, right? Like we may inadvertently let go of the whole thing, even though it's just parts of the thing were meant to die, right? So maybe you are running a program and it needs to go through a winter phase. There are parts of the program that really need to be cut and let go of. But because you're not doing it cleanly, you end up just letting go of the whole thing or sabotaging, right? Even when a person that we love passes, we don't let go of all of them. Right? We let go of their incarnation and their body. We might let go of the relationship that we had with them when they were alive in their body, but hopefully their memory stays alive with us. We may initiate a new relationship with them after they're gone. We don't let the whole thing go, right? We take of anything. We want to take the parts that we need with us. So just consider for yourself a moment, was there a time when maybe you did let go of the thing that was ready to be let go of, but you did it in a messy way, in a way where you self-sabotaged or you burned bridges? And what was the impact of that? And just so you know, we all do this, right? So I don't want you to be judging yourself right now. I have certainly been in times and places where I have not gone as gracefully into the winter as I would have liked. We're looking at this so that you can bring more awareness to it. And the more awareness you can bring, the more choice you have. So why is it that it can be so difficult to release, to let go, to move into a winter phase? Well, there are a number of reasons. I want us to look at some of them. So number one, and they're all related. I've separated them out, but they're really kind of all related in a way. So one of the reasons why it can be really difficult for us to release, to move into a winter phase or to let go is because of the fear of the dark and the mystery. We have a fear of the dark and the mystery. As well, what goes along with that is a fear of scarcity. So in our culture, we are taught, particularly in Western culture, we're taught that light is better than dark. We're taught that knowing is always better than not knowing, that clarity is always better than not yet knowing. We're taught that more is definitely better than less. And because we're taught all of those things, we end up with a fear of being in the middle of the night, in that dark of night, because we aren't sure that the morning will ever come. We think that letting go of a relationship or a client or a home or of our uber productivity means that we'll never have those things again, or that we don't have enough stored up of whatever those things mean to us to get us through the winter. In our culture, we don't know how to shut down. It's not of value, which is why I think this, you know, the moment in history that we're in right now is such an incredible one. It's such an important one. You know, and along with all of this, this fear of the dark, this fear of the mystery, this fear of scarcity, I just want to name that as a culture, Western culture in particular, we have a fear of death itself. We're not used to seeing death. We're not used to engaging with death. We're not used to feeling like it's a natural part of life. You know, there's so much science these days are targeted towards how to never die in a way, you know, but just 100 years ago, some of you may know this, even just 100 years, or a little more than 100 years ago now, people, they would take Sunday walks through cemeteries, you know, with their families for fun. It was a thing to do. Death was so much more a part of life, right? Not too long ago, people were more intimately connected with death. People died more in their homes, all of that. So we've really come to fear and want to just not look at death. So along with it, not, you know, it makes it hard to think about letting anything go. I'm working right now, and maybe some of you are too with your clients. I'm working right now through this pandemic with clients a lot on getting more comfortable with the mystery, right? I mean, we've also just become this culture that needs to know exactly what's next all the time. And we've forgotten that not knowing, that being in the mystery is necessary sometimes. We've forgotten that this can be a value, being and embracing in the mystery. In Sacred Depths Coach Training, we actually do a full module just on how to support clients to embrace the mystery. It's so important. Okay, so all that being said, what about the dark and the mystery really terrifies you? What is it about the dark and the mystery that really terrifies you? I ask this so that it may help make some connections if you do have trouble releasing things and letting things go, right? What about the dark and the mystery really terrify you? Next question. Jot down, do a little journaling on this. What's your relationship with scarcity? What's your relationship with scarcity? The trees actually need to let go of the leaves, like I said earlier, in order to do the underground work on the roots. Yet so much of us feel like we need to cling on to all the leaves. What's your relationship with scarcity? And here's another question to journal on to just add another layer to that. What did you learn from your parents about, or your guardians, about scarcity and about being in the mystery? What did you learn from your parents or any role models about scarcity and being in the mystery? What did you learn or not learn from them, I should say? What did they model for you around all of this? And what about this? What are the things in your life that you're currently clinging onto out of fear of the mystery or scarcity? What are things, relationships, projects, parts of yourself, you know, any and all, right? Things in your home. What are the things in your life that you're currently clinging on to out of fear of scarcity or fear of the mystery? Sometimes I work in my work with clients, we take a look at this and we see that they're holding on to particular clients because of this, clients that are no longer aligned for them. Sometimes people are meant to get off social media because they're in social media overload, but they're clinging on to being in social media all the time because of this. Doesn't mean forever, right? There might be a rebirth of their social media, you know, relationship, but just kind of giving you some different ideas here. So what are the things in your life that you're currently clinging on to out of fear of the mystery and scarcity? So fear of the dark, of the mystery, fear of scarcity isn't the only reason why it can be difficult to release, let go, and move into a winter phase. Another reason is because of the fear of grief and pain. Because of the fear of grief and pain. Sometimes we hold ourselves back from letting things go because we don't want to feel the pain of grief. And even when, sometimes when things are taken from us, where they have died, we end up getting stuck, like mired down in the winter phase. We can't leave it because we avoid actually grieving and feeling the pain of our grief. So just like as a culture, we don't value the dark. Also, as a culture, we don't know how to grieve. We don't value grieving. We don't embrace grief. And all of this is so detrimental to our psyches. Because we, you know, we don't value grief and we don't learn how to grieve in culture in general. By the way, even though nearly every spiritual tradition has a ritual or ceremony, right, for grieving, but we generally, you know, don't really value this, don't embrace it. And then because of it, whether we realize it or not, some of us get scared that we can't handle our grief. We get scared that we're going to fall apart and then never be able to put ourselves back together, right? That the grief will just be never ending. We'll lose ourselves in it. That generally doesn't happen if we have a healthy relationship to grief, right? We're scared that we'll lose everything if we allow ourselves to grieve. We're scared that we'll be alone in our grief. In Into the Depths, which is my training for facilitators, how to do group work and also how to do ceremony and ritual work, I teach how to lead a group grieving ceremony. And I teach how to do it in a group because we need to learn how to do this as a community. It's good to do it one-on-one with our clients as well, give them the space, give it to ourselves, right? But we also need to learn how to grieve as a community to make it more acceptable, not just to grieve in private, but communally. Imagine if our leadership modeled this right now, so much would be different in the world. I, right now especially, but always, I work with one-on-one clients on giving them permission and bringing them into the energy of grief so that it doesn't fester, so that they don't avoid it, so that they can move the grief through their bodies, so that they don't get stuck in winter, and so that they can fully let go of what's ready to be let go of. So let's just explore this a little bit right now. Are you currently letting, or in the past, letting yourself grieve what needs to be grieved? So are there things right now that need to be grieved? Are you letting them grieve? And have there been times in the past where you haven't let yourself grieve? And if not, if you're not currently letting yourself grieve whatever needs to be grieved, or you haven't in the past, why? What is it that you're actually scared of when you don't let yourself grieve? Journal on that for a moment. This is important. When you don't allow yourself to grieve, what is it that you're, what is the fear? What are things that you're currently clinging on to out of fear of the pain of grief? What are things that you're currently clinging on to because you're scared that it's going to cause a lot of grief to let it go? And also, what's ready to be grieved in your life? Some of these might end up the same answers to, you know, what are the things in your life that you're currently clinging on to out of fear of the mystery or scarcity, but let's see. some other pieces may come through here. What are the things that you're currently clinging on to because you're scared of the pain of grief? Or what's ready to be grieved? What can you see now is really ready to be grieved? It might be a relationship. It might be a part of yourself, an identity. It might be something in your work. It might be a part of a relationship. Like I said earlier, now that I'm in midlife, I have had to go through a grieving process of not looking the way I looked when I was younger. That's something that I really had to let go. And slowly it's allowed me to be so much more comfortable and love and embrace how I look now. Okay, and then there's one other reason that I want to take a look at today of why it can be difficult to release, let go, move into a winter phase. And that's difficulty trusting and surrendering. There's so much we can say on this. I'll just say a couple of things. But even those of us that think we're really good at trusting, usually there's more to trust, right? And it's like, it's so much easier to trust the light. It's so much easier to trust what we can see. It's so much easier to, right? Like, than to trust being in that mystery place and not knowing. When we trust, inevitably we have to surrender, right? Like, we have to give over some of our control in order to trust. That is a part of trusting. And a lot of us have a lot of fear around relinquishing control. And we have a lot of fear around chaos. For a lot of us, it's hard to truly, truly, deeply trust and then surrender in to know that someone or something has our back, right? Whether that someone or something is spirit, the cycles, the strength of what's already been created. On a scale of 1 to 10, if you're just really honest with yourself, how deeply do you trust? I'm going to say life, right? All of it, the full cycle. On a scale of 1 to 10, how deeply do you trust the full cycle? Is there anything that you're clinging on to right now because of lack of trust? Is there anything that you're clinging on to right now because of lack of trust? So anything that should go through a winter phase, but you've been clinging on to it because of a lack of trust. Take a moment and think on this one. What are your limiting beliefs related to trust and surrender? What are your limiting beliefs related to trust and surrender? So, for example, if you've got a belief that you always have to do it on your own, trusting and surrendering into the winter is going to be really hard for you. Right? So take a moment, see what wants to come up there. What are your limiting beliefs related to trust and surrender? Okay, I know you're all waiting to work with the destroyer. I promise we're going to start working with the destroyer in a few minutes. We've actually already started working with the destroyer just by looking at all of these pieces. We need this background in order to get there. But I do just want to pause here and hear from one or two of you. What's coming through? What are you seeing? What's really rising to the surface for you? Star two. What are you seeing? I know I'm going through a lot in a very short period of time. Jennifer.
Hi. So what's coming up for me is it just feels like I deeply don't want to let go of a relationship that has been gone for a long time.
Yeah.
And what I notice is that it plays into my limiting beliefs of trust and surrender. It's almost as if, like, when I was 5, somebody told me, you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone because the boogeyman will get you, or whatever the story is.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the thing that keeps holding me back from fully grieving, surrendering, and trusting.
I can feel just from how you're sharing that it's like really, it's coming together really potently for you right now. Like, you're really seeing this. What would it look like, and what would the impact be for you to create some space to grieve this relationship that actually, like you said, isn't really there for you anymore anyway?
Well, I am in the process, because I'm trying to move to back down to Scottsdale area, Arizona, to be with my family.
Yeah.
And so we've been, like, sitting in the muck of the 4 years together, grieving.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. I'm really
glad.
Because
it feels like, oh my gosh, I might be making a mistake. Like, that's the thing that I'm going to always go back to, is I might make a mistake. But it seems like every time I do this and I make this room for grief and surrender, something's better on the other side. I just have a hard time trusting it at first.
So go back to that belief that you shared. What was it again?
Yeah. I said, it was as if, like, somebody when I was 5 said, you won't ever be able to do it on your own.
Yeah. I tell me if I'm getting this right, Jennifer, but it's that, but when you're doubting moving back, it's that belief that's getting its way. Yeah. So that's the one to really do work with. I'd really work with that over this week. You know, unpack that more. You can write from the voice of that belief. You can counter it, you know, and just really be with it so that it's in your full consciousness as you move through the grieving.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Take another. Got a bunch of hands up. Take another one or two. Who is this? 004 are your last numbers.
Hi, Joanna. It's Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
What's coming up for me is, it was more like in the question, what is it about the dark or mystery that really terrifies you? It's like this missing out, as in, like, I'm so close to this bearing fruit, or this, you know, producing what I hope. So if I just hold out a bit longer, then it will come to fruition or something. And then what tends to happen is I hold on too long and it all just blows up in my face. But then I get frustrated because I love what you're talking about, like with it being a cycle. It's like, I don't know if we'll get to this or if I'm overthinking, but maybe it won't bear the fruit that I hoped in this rendition or this cycle, exactly. But it can in future. But instead of thinking about that, I'm just like, no, just hold the line, and then it's like nothing. And then the other part of it is, I think it's because I hold on too long. My other fear is I don't want to start again. Like once I stop, I'll just stay like being lazy or, you know, and I think that they're both related. I hold on too long, so I'm exhausted, and then obviously I'm not going to want to start again. You know?
Yes. I'm so glad you're making these connections. It feels like you can see it really clearly.
Yeah, because the more you talk about it being a cycle, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe. Like if I was planting I'm not much of a gardener, but like the roses or the flowers that came rendition one of that plant, they mature. So as it goes through the seasons again, so it's like, oh, I can see the big picture of where this is going to go, but maybe not in season one.
Exactly. And then to this thing of like the holding on, and this is, I think, a great image for everyone. And we'll get more into this as we get into the harvest, but it's related. You know, imagine an apple tree, and there's an apple on the tree that you don't think looks so good, right? It's the thing that didn't turn out the way that you expected it to. So instead of harvesting it, instead of plucking it from the tree and enjoying it for what it is, you just leave it on the tree because it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to. And then that apple starts to get rotten. But the tree still has to hold up this fruit that's getting more and more rotten, exhausting its resources.
Yes. Perfect. That's exactly it. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Thank you for bringing that forward. Oh, these shares are all so good. And we still have a lot of work, so I'm going to just take one more for now so we can continue with our work for today. Rachel. Are you there, Rachel? Oh, wait. Hold on.
Sorry, can you hear me, Joanna?
Yep, now I can.
Great, thank you. The thing that is coming up for me is trust. I was looking at the things that I'm not letting go of and their clients. And I just re-signed a contract for something that I had dread the first time I did it. And it's this anxiety about access to resources. And even though I feel like that shifted for me, and like we've been talking about how I'm trusting that I have enough right now, I think particularly the current world situation, I'm like, I need to take it right now or it'll disappear. And, the belief system that I was shocked that came up was that I won't have what I need when I'm betrayed.
Ooh, just got chills.
Yeah.
Cannot rest, cannot let go of what I have now because there's going to be a betrayal and then I'm not going to have what I need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's definitely more work to do there. I'm glad it came up. I'd continue to pick that one apart. That feels really important. And I know I'll speak with you privately. We can pick that. We can go deeper with that too.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad that came through. Okay, I'm going to lower hands for now, but we're going to have plenty of time in a little bit for more shares and coaching and takeaways and all of that. I want to bring us more firmly into the energy of the destroyer right now. As I said, of course, we've already been working with the destroyer this whole entire class, but let's dive in even more deeply. So one of the antidotes to, you know, if you have trouble being in winter, and in particular, if you have trouble with letting go, with releasing, one of the antidotes is the energy of the destroyer. The destroyer is the one who knows exactly how to cleanly and easily wield her knife to let go of what no longer serves. The destroyer loves all of the things that have grown, but she doesn't let any clinging get in the way of doing what must be done, for she trusts that when she lets go of what no longer serves, of what must be put to rest, that there is a spring on the other side, that she will have what she needs. The destroyer is not concerned with hanging on to things just for the sake of having more. She understands that there is a time for more and there is a time for less, and that by abiding by the cycles and stepping into less, she actually creates more abundance. The destroyer does not destroy with bitterness, with spite, with trying to get back, or with victimhood. She destroys from a place of empowerment and love for all that is. She has a reverence for life, which means she has a reverence for death. So I want to remind you that archetypal energy is something that we all have access to in any moment that we need it. It's there to help us, and the energy of the destroyer is there for us in any moment that we need it. It wants us to use it and engage with it consciously instead of keeping it in the shadows. Now, we're not going to go full into instruction of what shadow is and how it functions and how to work with it. That's for, you know, those of you that want to step into sacred depths or into the depths. But I do want us to look at what happens when we keep our destroyer in shadow. So when we are not consciously engaging with the archetypal energy of the destroyer and using it to help us, one of two things happens. We've already kind of seen it today. Either number one, we don't destroy the things that are actually meant to be destroyed, or we're like out of control destroyers, right? And we end up self-sabotaging because of it. And I want to say, this isn't true across the board, but in general, many women have their destroyer in shadow. Many women are not consciously owning, engaging, and accepting and loving their destroyers. And unfortunately, that is because of culture, and that is because we have been taught that destruction is not feminine, is not ladylike. Of course, that is farthest from the truth. As women, we know destruction and death very well. We know it from the cycles in our bodies every month. We know it whether we've experienced childbirth or not. We have that power of life and death inside of us. And really, if you look to many cultures, most of the destroyer deities are feminine. Kali, Lilith, or Rishkagal. Because we have a tendency to put our destroyer, to not consciously engage with our destroyers, and then we end up, right, either not destroying the things that we're meant to or out of control destroy when we don't want to. Because of that, with my own children, I'm so conscious of helping them own their destroyer. So, you know, for example, when both my kids were the age that kids play with blocks, you know, when kids play with blocks, they build blocks, and then they kind of want to smash them down, right? When my kids would want to smash the blocks, I would encourage them. I would say, destroy, destroy, you know, and to have them take pleasure in it, right? So that they would see that it's not a bad thing, that it's a natural part of things. So take a moment, consider for yourself, do you have any limiting beliefs or judgments or preconceived notions about people, maybe even women in particular, who take pleasure in destruction? Do you have any limiting beliefs or judgments about people who are good at destroying things, maybe even take pleasure in it? It's good to note for yourself, right? If you've got judgments there. Let's go deeper with this. We're going to do a couple of pieces to more consciously engage with our destroyers, to embody our destroyers. So next thing we're going to do is we're going to channel, right, like we did last week, but today we're going to channel the voice of our destroyer. And I want to invite you to let that voice come through exactly as it wants to come through. So take a moment, close your eyes. Start to connect in with the energy of the destroyer, however it shows up for you. And the destroyer has it wants to express something. You can start your writing with, I am the destroyer. That's usually a good way to start. I am the destroyer. And then just write as fast as you can from the voice of your destroyer for about three minutes. Try not to correct grammar, worry about spelling, you know, how it sounds. Just keep on writing and let's see what wants to come through. So I am the destroyer. Start with that writing prompt and write until I tell you to stop. Keep on going. Just let the destroyer come through. continue to speak. Just let it keep on coming through. What does the destroyer want to say? Got another 30 seconds. Just keep on writing. And then start to bring whatever thought you're on to a close. And take a moment and read through the writing that just came through, the destroyer that you just, the voice of the destroyer that you engaged and channeled. You can put on, whether you're a coach or not, put your coaching cap on and, you know, do a little analyzing, look for patterns, see what's coming up as you read through the destroyer. All right, let's take this a step further now. And continue to really engage more consciously. And again, the more that we can engage consciously with these energies, the less they have, you know, control over us, and the more that we can harness them, the more that we can embody them in ways that work for us. The more that we can consciously use the destroyer to let go of what we want to let go of. So I invite you to close your eyes. We're going to have our eyes closed for a few minutes. And take a couple of nice deep breaths in and out. It's really bringing yourself fully present. Connecting in with your highest wisdom with each breath. Connect even more deeply with your wisdom and with yourself. Really taking pleasure in the breath. And I invite you to call forward in human form your destroyer. So call forward in human form your destroyer. And let your destroyer come in front of you. And take a moment to really take in visually the details of your destroyer in human form. Is your destroyer old or young? Does your destroyer have a gender? What does your destroyer wear? How does your destroyer wear their hair? Do they wear any jewelry? with each breath, connect more deeply with your destroyer and notice, how does your destroyer hold themselves? How do they stand or sit? Notice the expression on their face. Really take your destroyer in through the eyes. Connect through the eyes. And connect through the touch. So if it feels okay, take your destroyer's hands in yours. Hold hands so that you can connect that way as well. And connect even through the breath. Allow your breath to take on the same rhythm and pace as your destroyer's breath. Really connect with your destroyer. And I invite you to ask your destroyer, what is it that it wants you to know? It might be the same as what channeled through before, or something else. Just see. What is it that your destroyer really wants you to know? You might hear what it says or just feel it. Continue to connect with your destroyer through connecting through the eyes, through the touch, through the breath. And ask your destroyer, how can the two of you work in a better way in your life? How can the two of you work in a better way in your life? Connecting even more deeply and asking your destroyer from its highest wisdom to let you know, what is it that you are meant to destroy next? What is it that you are meant to destroy next, to release next, to let go of next? Ask what it is. And ask your destroyer to share with you anything that it wants you to know about this letting go that is ready to happen. Anything that it wants you to know about this letting go that is ready to happen. Continuing to connect deeply with your destroyer. Ask your destroyer, once you let this thing go, what will give you nurturance and support as you move through the quiet after the letting go, as you move through the mystery after the letting go? What is it that will be a source of nurturance and inspiration for you in the aftermath, in that second part of winter, in the aftermath of the release? and ask the destroyer what is going to be possible for you when you let this thing go. What's the opportunity that's available? What is possible for you? Continuing to connect deeply with your destroyer, really connect in with the energy of your destroyer. If you haven't already taken the destroyer's hands in yours, take your destroyer's hands, stand up together. Feel the circle that the two of you make with your hands in each other's hands. And ask your destroyer through the hands to balance out their energy inside of you. Ask your destroyer right now to balance out the energy. Let the energy go hand to hand through the both of you, circle, 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 until it's balanced out. And you'll know when it's balanced out. And then when the destroyer is done balancing out the energy and giving you what you need, just notice how you feel. Take a moment and thank your destroyer for showing up today, for communicating with you, for being with you, for being a part of you. And then you can just let it fade into the distance. Just continue to stay with your body. If you are not actually physically standing up right now and you are able to stand up, stand up. And if you're not able, stay seated. And ask your inner destroyer to give you a body movement that really holds the energy of clean and healthy destruction. All right, it might be a karate chop, it might be something else. But ask your destroyer to give you a body movement that holds the energy, that can remind you of the energy of clean and healthy destruction, and practice that movement once or twice. It might be stomping on the floor, whatever shows up for you. What is a body movement that holds the energy of clean and healthy destruction, and practice it? Make a body memory of it. Good. And take a couple deep breaths in and out. And bring yourself fully back to your room. You can open your eyes. And take a moment and jot down any notes that you want to jot down from the visualization, anything that you want to remember. And then the other thing that I'd like for you to jot down, and this is important, is what are one or two or three, no more than three, and one is fine, more than fine, what are one or two or three very specific outer actions that you can take this week to use your destroyer to move some things towards completion and winter? What are one or two or three specific outer actions that you can commit to taking this week to really use your destroyer to move things towards completion or winter? Okay. So I want to hear what's coming through for you, what you're seeing, what that experience was like. But before we get there, I want to just talk a little bit. I mean, hopefully just throughout this entire call, you're seeing how to apply a lot of this to clients. But I want to just pull out a couple of things in terms of your client work and also give you some homework. So first of all, now that we've really looked at winter, take note, if you're working with clients, take note of which of your clients may need an overarching winter experience. So in other words, which of your clients just overarchingly, like really overall, need rest and pause or time for grief, right? You want to start to bring awareness around that, create awareness. And then also which clients, another thing for homework is, don't do this now, but do this for homework, like which of your clients have projects that actually are ready for winter in one way or another? Whether it's overarching winter or specific projects that are ready for winter when you're working with clients. So you guys know, when I'm working with clients, I'm always tracking and scanning where are they in the cycle. Are they supposed to be somewhere in the cycle, but they haven't moved there? Where is this project in the cycle, right? So just the more we as practitioners can hold that and the wisdom of the cycles for our clients and track them, things are going to just move so much more smoothly. I can't tell you how many clients I've had over the years where I've just simply given them permission to go into a winter phase and it's changed everything for them, you know? Or where I've created awareness around certain projects that were ready for a winter phase or relationships, whatever it is. So you want to be tracking your clients in this way. You want to create awareness. And, you know, create awareness can mean lots of different things. For those of you that have been through Sacred Depths, you know that there are mirroring techniques, reflecting the truth techniques, honoring what is techniques, and then as well as just straight up breakthrough questioning techniques. All of these different things can help create awareness. Once you've created awareness for a client around the winter or wherever they need to go with that, a client still may or may not be ready to go there, right? So to support them to go there, you can use any of the explorations that we've done today, or if they're up for the embodiment techniques, any of the embodiment pieces we looked at today. For those of you that know the Sacred Depths, Befriend Your Fear process, you may need to work that, or the Rewiring Your Negative Thought process, or the Get Off the Wheel of Self-Sabotage process, so you can use any of those to support clients who, you know, to move more deeply into winter. For those of you that have done advanced work with me or have Jungian shadow work in your repertoire, you can do shadow processes. Remember that when you're working with clients, energy follows energy. And what that means, that's something that you'll hear me say a lot. I may have already even said it in Sacred Rhythms. But energy follows energy means that how you lead is how your clients are going to follow. So in this particular case, what it means is that the more that you are comfortable with winter, the more that you're comfortable with your destroyer energy, the more that you've worked through your fears of the dark and the mystery and scarcity or grief, you know, all of that, then the more you'll be able to create the container for safe and loving exploration with your clients, the more they'll be willing to go there with you. When you work on winter with client, both with clients and for yourself, I want to just remind you again about the difference between the breakthrough and the transformation, right? So the work that we did today, all the work we did today, hopefully you've had a lot of breakthroughs and you're inching towards transformation. We've started to, you know, really do the embodiment work. But to really get the transformation, you want to come back to your destroyer voice, come back to the visualization with the destroyer, practice the body movement, take the actions, right? Go back and look at all of the beliefs that came up today, all the different connections, really work it. And you have to do that with clients as well. Not just the inner, right? So I want to remind you all, and this is a coaching principle to use for anything. You know, I call it the inner-outer correspondence principle. I love doing inner work, but all the inner work in the world isn't going to necessarily yield a result unless you pair it with outer actions, right? And so that's why today, for example, I asked very clearly, what are 1 to 3 specific outer actions you can take, right? And we had other moments today where it was like, what's the action? What can you do? You want to be able to do that. Okay. In terms of homework, number one, take your action steps. Really work on your action steps. Number two, channel from the voice of your destroyer a couple times this week as much as you can. Like I said, practice the body movement. And I'm also going to be sharing a supplemental exercise or two as well in the Facebook group. Okay. So in a moment, we'll open up for questions, both anything that came up today as well as whatever you need in your business right now. But first, take a moment and write down, what's your biggest takeaway from our time together today? What's your biggest takeaway? Like I started the call with resonances, right? Takeaways, I'm ending the call that way. These moments of integration are really good. They're valuable. And please post share your takeaways right now. I'm going to open up for shares and questions, but also post in our Facebook group. All right, so we've got 30 minutes of Q&A. Anything that you need from me, whether it's business strategy, sharing what came up today, next steps from what came up today, whatever it is that you need, it's *2. How can I help you? Jeannie.
I really wanted to share about that exercise that we just did.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting because, one, I'll just say, like, conceptually I understand what the destroyer is, but it just never really connected with that. In, like, the priestessing world and stuff, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, like, I am the destroyer and all of this, and I have had kind of negative reactions to the word. And so your work is so layered, and I actually need it to get down into where I'm stuck, because with everything that we've done today, that's one of the reactions I'm having. It's like it didn't access me until we got really deep, and I had to talk about all the different concepts, and you had to ask all the questions. So it's been really powerful for me. What I want to say about my destroyer is that she showed up as me, and she showed up as fire, which is yes, when you think about Kali, but when I'm thinking about, like, winter, I'm not really thinking about fire.
Yeah.
So it totally made a connection for me because I connect a lot with the fire energy. So she showed up as fire, and she she showed up as a healer. So when she showed up as me with my hair like wild and messy, and when I'm in my most like powerful state, giving the chills right now, and when she grabbed my hand and we were doing this circle energy, which was circling this energy through my body, it was like she's the healer. So it just changed my the way that I viewed the even the word, right, destroyer. And also, you know this, some of the women on the call, but I think I've actually been in a winter state since that friend of mine committed suicide a couple years ago. And right, because we can be in different phases and different parts of our life, but the way that that hit me, because grief is one of the things too, I want to say that I would say that I know how to process grief and that I really haven't had to process grief that many times in my life. And so I think that maybe it's kind of easy for me, but getting in there today, I realized that there were some things, right, that I'm like
that you're still holding on to and still need to be processed. I'm so glad. Oh my gosh, so much, Jamie.
Yeah,
I'm glad you could see the last piece. And I love that the destroyer came through as a healer. I really want you to come back to that energetic embodiment, you know, throughout this week. And also, like, continue to see how it wants to be applied in your business, too. Let's see what wants to come from that.
Okay, cool. I'm super excited. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Me too. Dana.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So I'm still, I always take, like, a little while to process things, but some, it feels like some potent stuff is coming up. So first, the thing that popped out to me as far as the fears place was the fear of scarcity. Mm-hmm. And what I've been going through, I guess, a little more wintry is that I'm not bringing on new clients right now. I've like gotten off social media and I'm not in a place where I'm like bringing on new clients. I'm working in the 3-month container I have. And then I have like a monthly membership program that a couple people have come on their own, but I'm not in a place where I'm like out there bringing in new clients. That being said, I also have this other side of me that I'm like, you've invested a lot of money in the last year. You have this much debt. Like you should be bringing on new clients. Mm-hmm. And I've sort of surrendered there that, you know what, what's 3 more months in the whole spectrum of it. So I felt okay there, but there was still some weird energy. So when I was channeling through the voice, there was like some things that came up was, you know, just, I'm not scared of scarcity. I trust that more will come after a period of lack. I don't worry about man-made timeframes. I trust in divine timing. And that I will never not have enough as long as I stay aligned with the seasons. And then during the visualization, something came up for me and it might be a different season, but like I sort of saw this winter and I was seeing a bear in the cave. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, it stored up all this stuff for the winter, but it's also the stillness. It's not like putting out a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. So I sort of had this aha with me, and I'm not sure what it all means, that like I've never been one to save. I've always I just spend. And even when I bring in money, I'm spending more than I'm bringing in. So part of me was like feeling like, there's something there that like maybe that's a fall thing where I need to like learn more about saving when I'm in a winter phase instead of, you know, so that was coming up for me.
No, that feels really big and important. And you're right. Like some of the saving we'll look at in the harvest, right? It's like the, you know, back to your image of the bear eats enough before it goes into hibernation to get itself through, you know, it's using less energy, so it doesn't need as much, right, to get itself through the winter. But absolutely 100%. So I feel like there's something in that. And I also, I'm trying to think if there's, I'm going to ask this or just say it.
I'm also destroying something else, so and that might be where.
Going,
but I'm curious now. Yeah, just
no, just
it.
The other thing I was going to say is that it may be that all you have time and space for right now is for your group program that you're tending to. Or it may be that you do have space to bring on one more client, mm-hmm. and that might be helpful. You know, it doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Well, I think that comes to what I'm actually like feeling like, which came up at the end when you said, like, what are you destroying? Mine was, mine had more to do with release, like really destroying, like kind of raising my prices. So destroying like where I'm at in my belief level with my worth. And I think that's the pause because I wasn't ready to raise my prices. So I want to destroy that before I bring on new clients.
That makes so much sense. But yeah, that's such a beautiful illustration of the process, and that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Dana. All right. Teresa.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so. So I'm sitting with the different layers, but the thing that what the destroyer was revealing to me, it was a she definitely, and a little bit androgynous, but more of a she. And I was her, and I was also Jean Grey from the X-Men.
Love it.
And I've always loved her character for many reasons, and I've also felt her energy within me in a way that has not always felt comfortable. And and there are two things that she was saying that she said that I needed to, when I asked what did I need to release or let go of, was my way of being. And there's some confusion around that for me. And I'm willing to sit in that mystery and see what emerges. And one of the things that she said was necessary in order to let that go was to face the fear that I've hidden from myself. Mm-hmm. And so I get to write about that and see what comes from that. And I'm not clear about that at the moment, but one of the things that came through for me was that she said, I have so much to do with you, and why are you holding me back? Because you give me a little leeway and then you shut me down, and that's not my way. And when you hold me back, you hold yourself back. And by not letting me do what I'm here to do, then you can't do what you're called to do. And she kept telling me that she was here to support my energy, and that could I not see that, and that that she was like congratulating me for being comfortable in the winter phase, mm-hmm. and honoring my winter phase, and calling me out. And this is where part of my confusion is, and I know we'll work on this together. But part of that is really recognizing what part of my way of being that I haven't been willing to let go of, and what's the fear in not letting go of that? And it feels very survival oriented, and it feels like it goes even beyond identity.
Yeah. I know that you don't have full clarity on it yet, Teresa, but I don't think the tears would be there if it was too far under the surface.
Yeah. I'll sit with it and write some more.
Yeah, I would write some more from her, from her voice. Don't try to figure it out, you know, in your head. Let her voice guide you. And you can also ask some questions that, you know, around it that can help, like, what would be at risk for me if I were to get fully clear on this? What would I need to believe in order to see more here? And see what wants to come through all that.
Okay, I will.
What do you sense? You may not know completely, and that's fine, but just last question. I can feel that the, you know, how important this is, whatever's coming through is for you. What do you sense is on the other side of it for you? What's the opportunity?
I'm not really having anything come through at the moment. The only word that came up was well, it was a phrase, and the phrase was being of value. And I don't have a, you know, a conscious story of that right now. And
yeah. That's okay, but it came up, so keep that in the picture with all the writing this week.
Okay.
Let's see what wants to come through. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amelia.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi.
I figured out how to do it.
Wait, I can't totally hear you. Say that again.
I figured, oh no.
Are you there? Amelia? Are you there, Amelia? All right, I'm going to come back to you. I'll come back. Naomi.
Hi, Joanna. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. It's Naomi, actually.
Naomi, sorry.
Nay with A. Naomi. Yeah, I just had a really powerful addition as you were speaking with our last friend on the call. Yeah, my destroyer was really intense and a little bit in my face and scary, and it didn't really have a gender. It was just a presence, like fully, just kind of a shadow presence. And it, when I said what needs to be destroyed, it first said me, and it said my health. And then I said, no, I don't buy this. And the destroyer kind of like backed off, and what came clear was it's about setting boundaries. So what needs to be destroyed is my lack of clear boundaries. So bringing in Durga, Kali and Durga, the marriage between their energies. And what I found really helpful when you asked about my limiting beliefs around the destroyer, what came up was, it's not nice. It's not compassionate to be destructive and leave a mess behind you, behind me, you know. So I was thinking about that nice girl archetype that I really held and clung to for, I guess, a lot of my youth. And now as a mother, I've really, you know, the clear boundaries piece, I really have to set with deep strength. So it's really, yeah, this when that Durga energy came out, it was really clear that I got to let go of that nice girl sometimes in my professional and personal life.
So first of all, I'm so happy this is coming through for you personally. And I can almost hear like a hint in your voice of like a pleasure even in connecting with it, you know? And so that's number one. I'm really glad it's coming through. And number two, what you shared is so valuable for all of us because it's actually a beautiful, what happened with your destroyer is such a beautiful example of when this part of us, when the destroyer is in shadow, it works to destroy us. Mm. When we're not using it the way that it is meant to be used, right, it does want to go after us or our health. Right. And that's exactly why we do this process, right? Because the more you engaged with it, the more you started to bring it out of that lower energy place and into more utility and resource for you.
Right, okay. Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank you. Great. All right, let's see who's next. Okay, I'm going to come back to you, Amelia. Hopefully I can hear you this time. Amelia.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yay. Okay, I figured out the tech. So at first I was kind of like, well, you already know a lot that's going on. I've pretty much destroyed in a clean way my whole life and stepped into a new one, and I'm literally in the mystery. Mm-hmm. So at first, throughout like the first half of the thing, like, are you clinging on to anything? No. Are you holding on? No. So I was like, great, I'm not going to get anything out of this. But of course I did. And one, I think I feel really empowered and proud that I am pretty freaking good at winter, and a lot is because of all the work I've done with you. And I'm very connected to my destroyer, and I've actually cosplayed as my destroyer many times. She's the evil queen from Snow White. The beautiful, beautiful thing that came out of the channeling of it was I destroy, like she was like, I annihilate and I destroy fiercely because I love fiercely. Mm. And that, that's just so in my body. And the deeper level of learning that came through for me was I can annihilate and destroy with fierce love the limiting beliefs that I'm clinging on to about myself and my body.
Yes, you don't have to let go. Like, you don't have to destroy them in a hateful way, right? You can do that in a loving way, too. That feels so big and important. I'm so glad.
Yeah,
it's
a totally different come from, because, like, my usual is destroying it, from that hateful, like, I need to fix myself. I should be over this limiting belief already. But, like, I did, like, the karate chop, which was the embodied movement, and it was there was such a love for those limiting beliefs, but being like, yep, we're done.
Yes. Oh, that it feels like a much more effective way to release those beliefs that no longer serve.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that that came through.
100%.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Amelia. I think this is Kara. Kara, is that you? Maybe it's someone else.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I've been listening and forgot I raised my hand. thinking very deeply into this conversation. Wow, this has been a really powerful couple of hours. And very heavy on a couple of levels. First, it was actually kind of a poignant conversation in the beginning, just around death and how we hold sort of reverence for it. Had a very close family member attempt suicide 48 hours ago, and they are alive and are being cared for, but it's just yesterday I was sort of in taking care of other people mode around the whole thing, and it just sort of all landed today with me, processing it and processing the grief of that experience as we're just sort of beginning to navigate it. And so, yeah, been a really interesting day to have this conversation around grief and just how we do, you know, fear it so much. And also that there is, you know, a healthiness to grieving even when things don't turn out the way, you know, the worst possible scenario that they could have. I told my husband today I was surprised to find myself grieving today. And he was like, well, you still have to grieve the thing that happened, even if it, you know, it wasn't the outcome that was intended. Thinking about it was, you know, it's still something that has to go through.
100%. And I feel like there's something else that you're grieving about.
Oh,
the whole situation. It's not just the
thought
because that it could have happened. What is it that actually needs to be grieved for you, Kara?
It's really, and what sort of came forth then in the rest of the conversation, it's not something that I've been ignorant to grieving. It's just this whole conversation around grieving family in general, because I've sort of been walking this line for a long time of shifting my life in such a way that it is moving away from my family. Moving away into a different life than what they've known me as being in.
Yeah.
And the fear of them sort of shunning me, well, not sort of, like fully and completely shunning me.
There's
bringing that up.
Yes. So there's a grieving around who you expected, you know, like this family member to be and what you wanted for them, which may or may not happen, but right now needs to be grieved. There's a grieving around the role of who you've been in your family, who you're not anymore. I think there's a couple of different pieces in there. I just want to bring that forward more consciously. And you can tell me if that's landing or not. Just want to bring that forward more consciously for you to see.
Yeah, sure. I would say yes. And I think it's also just sort of bringing more present this larger picture of this fear that I have around losing family members in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, the destroyer then sort of, I really resonated, I think it was with what maybe it was what Jamie was saying around the destroyer being like a dual personality in a sense of like when I was visualizing her, she was me and sort of my sort of youngest, strongest self, not youngest, but most vibrant, strongest. And sort of visually starting out as this like really intense, like warrior, but like almost like a happy warrior, like really happy to be in her strength. But then also sort of, you know, went from being this like warrior outfit to morphed into like this very ethereal, loving healer.
Yeah, I love it.
That it was like, you know, this whole conversation around can you be the destroyer and still be in love and still be loving to the people around whatever it is that you're destroying.
Yeah. So that's a, Kara, that's a really potent image that came through. I really want to invite you to continue to work with that this week. I think it's going to just support you in general, but my sense is it's going to support you in where you're going next with your family, and also probably with your work too. So continue to play with that morphed, you know, how the image morphed, because I think there's a lot of gold there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
And Renee, last but not least at all.
I'm so glad that my hand was still raised this time compared to last week.
I know, last week.
I don't even know where to start, Joanna. So when we did the channeling, my destroyer is not nice.
Yeah.
And she was like, there was no even like, oh, I trust everything will be fine. It was all like, I want to smash and rip up and tear down everything that's not working and no longer feels good. I want to tell everyone what's over, what's ending. I want, like, the people who text me who are, like, clients that I don't really want to work with, and I'm like, why are you texting me? Like, why? Like, I want to just, like, I want to burn it down to the ground.
Yeah.
And so that immediately, like, just open me to the fear that I have, this like that I've faced before, which is like this, like when you do the inner work, like the fear people have of doing the inner work, right? It's like, what if I discover that I'm not a nice person, which is like one of my biggest fears. And it's like, I'm a bitch, but it's like, because the conflict I have is like, I didn't feel bad about it. Like, I mean, even when I was writing it, I was like, this is kind of angry. And I was like, I like this. I want to burn it down. But, like, people don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then.
So, wait, let's pause. Because you just shared a lot right there. I want to pause on that because it's so important for you. And so many people are still hanging on the call and listening. It's so important for everybody listening. So, the voice that came through is one that you don't like and yet, or that you're like scared of, and yet it's also something that you kind of liked.
Yeah. I like her, but I feel like I shouldn't like her.
Yes. This is classic of example of when we put a part of ourselves in shadow and pretend like it's not there. And then it goes, it's because we're scared of it, and then it goes wild and it sabotages us. And you were sharing earlier today on this call that you have trouble really letting go of things that are meant to be let go of. You've put this energy inside of you that you actually like in shadow. And so when it first comes out, the only way that it knows how to express itself is like, excuse my language, I'm going to fuck everything up. I'm going to just burn this. Right? Now, there's some good in that, right?
Like,
that feels good in it. But what I'm pointing out is that the more that you engage with it, Renee, the more you're going to find how to use it in ways that aren't scary and that can really serve you, so that you can let go of those things that you were talking about earlier that you're clinging on to.
So it's interesting. It's like the insight I had around it was like, it's almost like the reason I don't let go of those things, like especially relationship-wise or like client-wise, right, is like, I'm trying to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's like, because I don't say what I want to say because I don't know how to say it with love and compassion and empathy. And I just want to be like, stop calling me. I don't want to work with you. But I don't say that because I know that that would not be a nice thing to say.
Right.
But I want to say it.
Right. I hear you. Yeah. So that's first of all, that's such a good insight, right, to see why you're clinging on. And what I'll ask you to kind of look at for homework is, what's the difference between being nice and being kind?
Okay.
And see if you can delineate a little bit more there.
Okay. Can I share the next part? Because then I also did have a question about this.
Yes.
Okay. So in the visualization, I think you may know this, sometimes I do not visualize stuff. Like, I get very kinesthetic, and I felt like I could not see anyone across from me, but she was, inside me, and I was burning up. Like, my skin was hot. My skin's still hot. I had, tears streaming down my face. And, my whole, everything in me was, on fire. And I just was like, that's fine. I don't need to see it. She's here.
Yeah.
Because there was a time I'd be like, I can't see anything. This is not working. So I didn't do that. So when you asked, what does she want? What is she saying? It was very, it's okay. Let me work. And then when just what needs to be destroyed, then I got an image of hands tied with rope, like the rope needed to be cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a white light, and then there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you asked about the outer actions, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's okay. But I think you have some clues. So I would do some journaling, and I would ask her, what does the rope represent? What do the hands represent? And you can even engage with the ropes and the hands too. Like, you can start a channeling with I am the rope and see what wants to come through. Start a channeling session, right from the voice of the hands. I am the hands.
Okay.
So I think things will come through there, and I would say if you're open to it, at least for now, that I think the outer action for you is around, and more will come, but around this, nice versus kind, and then maybe even starting to think about, okay, one of those relationships, what are the words that can feel in alignment, that they don't have to be nice, but that they're kind all around? And let's just see what wants to come through there.
Okay, cool. And then there was one more piece, which is, this is a big one that happened earlier on. I wrote this down. The fear that if I let go of certain identities, kind of similar to what the last person was saying, I'm going to disappoint people and I won't be approved. I won't get approval.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be alone. That just landed in my heart.
Yeah.
That's my fear of all fears, that I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I'm glad that that came up so you can see the piece, it's a piece at work here. So continue to be with that and watch it and track it. There may be more here. Part of it, I'm just being honest, my brain is starting to turn off because I have to pee. But sit with it and then post in the Facebook group, see what comes next.
Yeah, that's my definite outer action item, is to let go of my fear of social media.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good practice to practice what come into the Facebook group and let us know. Okay. Good.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody, for all that you brought forward today. I so appreciate you. Please post in the Facebook group. Let me know what's coming up, what you're taking away, what you're seeing, what questions you have. Thinking about all of you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.